Now, we spoke to Matthew Parris at the start of the show about Boris Johnson's resounding victory in the general election. They're still in party mode. He's travelling to the north of England today to meet and congratulate newly elected Conservative MPs. But not everyone is celebrating. Demonstrators marched through London last night, passing Downing Street, chanting, "Boris Johnson, not my Prime Minister." So to discuss how the developments are going down in London, I'm joined on the line by Jarlett Regan, comic and host of the Irishman Abroad podcast. Jarlett, good morning.
Hello there. How are you?
Good. Jarlett, as I said there, you know, it was a resounding victory. He stuck to that three-word mantra, get Brexit done, and it got the election won for him. What was your reaction to it?
Well, like you say, in a nutshell, that seems to be what did it. My reaction was a sense that I felt among a lot of my friends that we don't really live in England and that this bubble of London is more pronounced than ever before, and that it was so unanimous among that circle and within London that this was a Labour vote that was going to happen in London, and that was really what was borne out in the polls, and yet the rest of the country feels another way. I think that we're all having to come to terms with that and respect the democracy of it. And in many ways, I feel like a lot of people aren't in favour of those marches, or certainly people that were previously in favour of those marches are no longer, because this was the second referendum in so many ways.
You don't really know anyone who voted Tory in your town or your circle or of friends. How does that make you feel then? Does it make you feel a bit othered when you're one way and you feel like maybe the rest of the country is a different way?
Well, Susan, the reality is I must. And you must know someone who's voted. During the original Brexit referendum that a lot of people told me they voted to remain, but didn't. And I mean, that's simply borne out. Like, there's just absolutely no way that everybody you know voted to remain, and yet the vote comes out to leave. I think that there was a lot of silent Boris voters, because we're living in this loud political environment now. The loudest, clearest message seems to win each time. And the message was, I'll get it done. Even though, as everyone you speak to and everyone I speak to, or anyone that has any knowledge of trade agreements knows, this is not as simple as get it done. And if it was a case of just get it done, then it would have been done by now. But for people in the north of England, or people working in the industry who are being told, you're not getting your raise, we don't know what your Christmas bonus is until we know what's happening with Brexit. Here's a man who said he'll get it done. And they said, yep, let's go.
Jarlett, you've been living in London now for a number of years, and I suppose this has been going on now for 3 years. How much did it seep into your everyday conversations with people? I know I've watched a couple of your videos of your stand-up where, you know, you do talk about Brexit a lot in a really, really, really funny, good way. But at dinner parties, at nights, at pints after work, all of those sort of things, like, how exercised were people about it, or how much division was there really among families and friends?
Well, that's the really shocking part, Susan. It's a really good question, because so much stiff upper lip revealed itself, I felt, that I really felt more like an immigrant than ever before, because I come from a country where lies are certainly less tolerated. If you lie in public office in Ireland and it comes out, well, then we'll rerun that referendum. That to me was, you know, something that started a fire in the pit of a lot of Irish people's bellies over here. Yet it didn't feel that way for a lot of British people. The lies that were told didn't matter. The result's the result. That's the way it works. Like, it was a game of some sort. And yes, some people get fouled and the referee doesn't blow the whistle. But it seems like in the conversations that I was having, there was a lot of kind of shoulder shrugging. And as this election drew closer, I could feel the sleepwalk continue. And they have sleepwalked into this. But I guess it's more, maybe not sleepwalking is the best term. They've definitely been drowsy about it, because this man that they put in, they've forgotten all of the things that he's done. They've forgotten about the letterbox comments about Muslim women, about watermelon smiles, the pure horrible language that the man uses, and the amount of times that he himself has lost jobs on the basis of fluffing the truth and lying. Doesn't seem to matter. They feel like we're at an impasse and this is the only person that can break it.
Yeah, I heard another political commentator say during the week that, you know, politics has gone in the direction whereby we now all assume that politicians will lie to us. So, you know, if you take that as the yardstick, then you're just trying to pick people that you might like a bit better. So, you know, Jeremy Corbyn repelled a lot of people, so people went with Boris, and you're assuming all politicians tell lies, which is a really sad state of affairs if we have gotten to that point. I suppose in terms of being an Irish person in London, what would you have liked to, what would have been the ideal situation for you? What did you want to happen? I mean, if we had had, if he hadn't got such a resounding majority, we would have been back in the stage of a hung parliament. And that wouldn't have been any better either.
Yeah, and you know, that's where I guess over pints and coffees yesterday, people came to realise that in fact, no decision is the worst decision. And that even those that were like me out marching for a second referendum, who, you know, put my energy into my stand-up and creatively kind of trying to illustrate what's wrong with this in a way that could be consumed by the general public, we've had to kind of go, well, the people have spoken resoundingly and I am out of step with what they want. So there is a certain amount of acceptance because, as I say, I think the ideal outcome here, I mean, we were really deciding between an Egypt and a gobshite, is what I describe. I mean, Corbyn was massively unpopular, and the party itself simply refused to see that. I mean, he just is the least prime ministerial figure I think I've ever seen lead a party. And as you know, optics matter. And people couldn't picture this man leading the country. They didn't want to picture it. I mean, I intend to be silly about it on stage and say that nobody called Jeremy gets elected. But these are simple things that, you know, Boris hits one note and he plays that note well, and he plays it into the camera. And, you know, the sad part, Susan, is that people will say to you, I like Boris. He's kind of funny. And you're like, you want a funny leader. I mean, it's kind of a, I really feel living, I'm dying to come on for Christmas, is the truth, Susan.
Yeah, I can well imagine. Tell me when you do your stand-up, Jarlath, and it is in relation to Brexit and Boris and having a pop, do you ever get a bad reaction to it? Because obviously the country, you know, has never been more divided. So I'm sure if you have a couple of thousand people in front of you at a gig, you will have people who'll agree with you and you'll have people who really don't agree with you.
Absolutely. And I've had walkouts. I've had when I try to bring it up and I try to talk about it, in, as you've seen in my stand up, which is, you know, anyone can watch on YouTube, is, you know, it's lighthearted, a fish out of water appreciation of the situation based on my experience in Ireland and Lisbon. I've had people try to pull me off the stage, like a guy's shouting at me, stick to the jokes. But by and large, they do laugh. Because they can see the absurdity. Like the it's funny to see the jokes about Brexit do well in rooms you know voted to leave. That the British do have the ability to laugh at themselves. They adore comedy and they thankfully enjoy Irish immigrants and our take on their world, and they've made a place for us in their entertainment spectrum for it.
If you don't laugh, you know, you will cry many times. Jarlath, finally, if I ask you to look into your crystal ball and you know, looking ahead, I mean, it is it's sort of a new era, political landscape in England completely. We've got now, from a northern point of view, we've got more nationalists elected to Westminster than unionists for the first time. The situation in Scotland is really interesting as well, and that's something that I guess is going to be a big talking point next week and kind of in the near future. What do you make of how all of that played out, again, with your links to Ireland?
I think from what I've learned from living here, organising pints with British people is exceptionally hard. Whereas in Ireland, you send a text, pints, question mark, it occurs. Whereas it's kind of reflective of exactly how difficult it is to get consensus among these people, that you agree a date, you agree a pub, and then people drop out with weeks in advance notice. My prediction is that just as everyone has said to you, this takes years. As Coveney has said, trade agreements take years. I studied EU politics and trade agreements in UCD, and this will take years and years of diplomacy. And they're not the greatest negotiators. They certainly don't have the goodwill of the EU now. The EU holds all the cards. So I see it playing out as a very drawn out return to the status quo. Because for me and for a lot of Irish people and EU members, England and Britain never really felt like it was in the EU. They didn't wear the school uniform. They didn't do the roads. They didn't do the currency. So they'll return to essentially a de facto membership of the EU without the stars and the blue flag. And as for Scotland, who knows?
When are you moving home, Charlotte? It's for the last question.
I'll be honest with you. I did look into it as soon as this occurred. My plan was always to put my son into secondary school in Ireland. So not too long, not too answer, long. Susan.
Okay, Charlotte Regan, comic and host of the Irishman Abroad podcast. Thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. It was a pleasure.